Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to say thank you to Mookie and thank you to David.
I hold all the cards now.
The CBT was not a major factor.
I think it's trash.
As much as it was a goal for us this offseason.
Where's everybody at?
Dale Arnold.
Do you expect Brady to leave New England?
Yes. The Titans and the Raiders are his most likely two destinations.
I don't think he's 100%.
Rich Keefe.
You do need to put more stock into how big of a turd a guy can be.
1:30, 2:30, 3:30.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
What are we doing?
That is a fantastic question.
Leaning in that same direction.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Today was our very first Tuesdays with Tom.
Thought it was a huge hit.
In here from noon to one, but an astute listener to the program, and we appreciate you doing that,
yeah,
said, does this mean Kiefer Madness has gone the way of the dodo?
Never.
But no.
Never. Absolutely not. Should it? Maybe. But it won't.
It won't
it's
yet.
Still here, 1:30 on Tuesdays, at least right for now. 1:30.
Normally on Tuesdays,
yes.
It's at 12:30.
Right.
That's in the middle of Tom Curran.
So we're not going to do that to him.
So 1:30 is...
So I got something up my sleeve here for today.
And I've been told, because it's Tuesdays and we have karaoke, because they haven't made a stop yet.
Yeah, karaoke Tuesdays, also a popular segment.
I've been told, not promising, but I've been told there may be a special guest.
Could be another duet. Because you're going to get Shime, let's be honest. You're going to get Shime.
Shime's not giving up the spotlight.
Shime's not going to step away. It's either somebody with Shime or a Shime solo. That's basically what it comes down to. And it looks like there's a chance, like you said, Dale, it could be somebody with Shime. So looking forward to that.
We'll talk in just a couple of minutes with Brian Windhorst of ESPN and talk a little bit about the NBA and the Celtics. Just one sort of ancillary NBA note, but it isn't really.
Okay.
I saw on Twitter today a young woman by the name of Emily Karen, who covers college sports,
yeah,
for SI Now and others. She tweeted out this morning, Bronny James has 4.5 million followers on Instagram.
Holy smokes.
He draws thousands of fans. His son is building a brand of his own at Sierra Canyon. Do you think it's a good thing?
No,
that a 15-year-old kid has 4.5 million followers on Instagram?
You got to be real careful.
Can you imagine the cesspool of comments?
I'll tell you right now, 15-year-old Rich Keefe would have been canceled.
Oh, yeah.
would not have worked that well for me.
It's probably not a good idea,
nope.
But there's probably not much you can do about it either. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Brian Windhorst. Brian hosts the Hoop Collective podcast for ESPN. New episodes every Sunday and Thursday. Listen wherever you find your podcasts. Brian is brought to you by Star Market and the brand new Star Market at the Hub on Causeway just outside the TD Garden. Brian, it's Dale and Rich. How are you?
I remember when I first started going to Boston, I didn't know it is Star Market. I knew it is Star Market.
Star Market.
Star Market. There it is.
And there's a huge Star Market at the Garden now. Uh-huh. So we were just as a quick offshoot here as we get going, I was just mentioning this report on Twitter. Bronny James has 4.5 million followers on Instagram. I'm going to suggest that might not be good for a 15-year-old kid.
He's probably got $4.5 million too. I actually spent some time with Sierra Canyon. Now I didn't spend time with Bronny because he's off limits to the media. I'm actually pretty impressed with what they're doing there. They have a very 2020 viewpoint on things, which is, look, we can't control the kids' social media. We can, if we try to control it, we're going to fail. So we're going to educate them. And if they make mistakes, they make mistakes, but we want them to be educated. So they put them through a 3-week course. The thing about it is LeBron has elected, and you can argue whether you think this is a good idea or not, LeBron has elected to make his children individual brands. Bronny James doesn't do interviews with the local media, but the night I was there at Sierra Canyon, there was a film crew following him around the entire game, all the way out to the car, and the film crew was by LeBron's media company. Hmm. And he's got his 5-year-old daughter has her own television or, you know, internet show. So he's electing to push this. He wants the kids to do it. Whether or not it's going to be smart, we'll see, but it's certainly a modern way of doing business.
Going back, Brian, to the NBA trade deadline last week, the Celtics did nothing. Were you surprised by that, and should they have done something?
Well, they just made it very clear to the market they were not going to trade any of their top five guys. So once you do that, the only way for them to get a player of any, you know, monetary value, in other words, a player making any money, is they were going to have to assemble, you know, two and three and four players, put them together, and put a trade together. And it's just hard to do that in the season when rosters are limited. I mean, when you're trying to trade for one guy and you need to put three players together, it's hard to do it. You got to release players. It's all kind of, it's messy. They also believe, and it's kind of an audacious belief, but they believe the way that they play defense, which is this scramble, everybody cover for each other, work together, have Marcus Smart guard everybody from seven-footers to six-footers. They believe that that's going to work. And there have been times this season where it has worked effectively, and they did not feel the pressure to absolutely have to get a big man. They think Daniel Theis is as good as anybody else defensively, and we'll see. They could end up being right about that.
Do you believe that they or any other team can knock off Milwaukee in the East?
You know, it's so funny about Milwaukee. When you look at their numbers, they are putting together arguably the greatest regular season in history. When you look at their point differential, it's the greatest ever. It's even better than the 73-win Warriors. But when you talk to players out there, I was just with the Miami Heat a few days ago, and I was talking to them after the Iguodala trade. Teams do not fear the Bucks, and I don't know if that's a smart thing. I don't know if it's ignorant, but they don't fear it. I'll tell you what, the Celtics, and I really got an opportunity to know all these Celtics players when I spent weeks with them over the summer in China. These guys aren't afraid of anybody. Marcus Smart's not afraid of anybody. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown's not afraid of anybody. You know, they have the mentality to pull it off. I would certainly not pick them, but I think the Celtics believe they could be in the finals, and under the right set of circumstances, it could happen. They'll be underdogs, but you know, I think there's a path.
How is Milwaukee doing this? Because obviously everybody loves Giannis. He's one of the best players in the NBA. But after that, Chris Middleton, you know, he's an all-star. He's a good player. I don't think anybody would consider him an elite player. Their third best guy is probably Bledsoe or Lopez. How is this team doing what the 96 Bulls and the Warriors have done?
Right. Well, I think two things. Number one, they have tremendous depth. They go too deep at every position. And that depth is built to totally tailor to Giannis. Giannis is a very smartly built team. Giannis has guys around him that totally complement his ability. And so they really play seamlessly together. They don't play very many minutes. Giannis is playing like 31 minutes a game. His statistics are crazy. He's averaging like 13 and 6 in 31 minutes a game. That's crazy. And secondly, they have this defense that is you know, kind of bucks the trend of the modern era. And this, I think, is one of the reasons why teams aren't afraid of them. They sell their entire defense out to protect the middle, and they will allow you to take the three-point shot. They will encourage you to take the three-point shot, in fact. And the times when they've been beaten this year, it's when teams have gone real hot from the perimeter and lit them up. As an example, their last loss was to Denver, and I think Denver set a team record in threes. But if you try to go into the interior against them, you're getting stonewalled. They have the number one defense in the league. And so their bet, their wager is, go ahead and shoot from the outside. We don't think it's going to work over a seven-game series enough to beat us. And, guys, they have seven losses this year. Yeah. I think they're 45-7. It's not been beating them very much during the regular season either.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst of ESPN. I go back to when Jim O'Brien was the head basketball coach at Boston College, and he was the first guy I remember who basically said, bombs away. You can't throw up enough threes to make me happy. Now it seems like all of basketball has gone in that direction. Do you like it?
He was ahead of his time. He really was. I mean, it's a simple formula, which is, I mean, it's so simple, it's stupid how simple it is, which is that you only have to shoot 33% from three-point range to equal shooting 50% from two-point range. and it's hard to shoot 50% from two-point range. Mm-hmm. It's not as hard from three-point range, especially if you use the corner, which is a shorter shot. It's a very basic formula. Do I like that there are players out there who only take threes, like Duncan Robinson down in Miami? I think something like 85% of his shots this year have been threes. Do I like it when we see games where there's 100 three-pointers taken? Am I going to look forward to this Sunday's All-Star game where we are just going to see preposterous amounts of threes taken for 2.5 hours? Do I think that's good for the game? Not necessarily. I do not. I think the real challenge is for there to be a coach to pull it back. We've seen innovative coaches, and Jim O'Brien was one of them. He didn't have the personnel to pull it off. Mike D'Antoni was another. Steve Kerr was another, that have changed the way the game is played. And Steph Curry and guys like that have changed the way the game is played. We need an innovative coach and an innovative player to bring it back more into balance. I hate to sound like I'm watching a Star Wars movie, but typically when you look at the flow of basketball over the course of decades, there's a way that the game balances itself out. For a while, it was too focused on big men, and they pulled the big men away. You know, for a year, I think there was like a 9-year run where either Shaq or Tim Hardaway or Tim Duncan were in the finals or something like that.
Yep.
It's pulled the other direction now. Somebody will pull it back. I don't know when that's going to happen, but the game typically solves its problems.
One of the few guys in the league, especially one of the few guards in the league that doesn't shoot threes at all, famously, is Ben Simmons. The Sixers seem like an absolute mess right now, and they were one of the teams considered a contender at the start of the year. I know here in Boston we talked about what kind of a series that would be considering how big Philly is, but are they to the point where we can cross them off the list of Eastern Conference contender?
No, because they're 24-2 at home. And if you're good, and they've pounded everybody who they've come in there with, if you have that within you, you can carry it over. But Brett Brown has not been able to do it. It's stunning the way he has admitted defeat so many times this year. He's admitted he can't get the guys to have even focus. He's admitted he's begged Ben Simmons to shoot at least one three-pointer a game or two, and he won't even do that. He's admitted he can't get their defense to moderate, you know, to equalize. He's admitted failure 3 or 4 times, and it's not something you're used to seeing. The crazy thing is, again, let's do a little math. I'm not a mathematician, but Joel Embiid is averaging 1.3 points per possession every time he posts up. Now, if you average 1 point possession on anything, it's considered good. He's averaging 1.3. So that would lead you to believe that if you've got a guy who's that good, who's 30% better than good, you would take it to him 20 times a game. But the nature of the game and the way he's easier to defend because of their spacing makes it impossible to do. Meanwhile, Ben Simmons has played his best basketball when Embiid is off the floor. Embiid went down with that finger injury a few weeks ago. Ben Simmons won Player of the Week. He had his highest scoring game. So the biggest problem is, and I don't care if you're Red Auerbach, if your two best players can't play their best when they're out there together, you've got a coach who's got 25-year history of being a pretty good coach throwing his hands up, you might have a broken scenario there. And I think I respect that home record for them to figure it out, but obviously you've got issues that are going to have to be addressed probably at some point.
If you were only going to stick with one of those guys to build your team around, which one would it be?
It's probably got to be Simmons because, frankly, Simmons has been healthier. I know he missed a year with the foot injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, Embiid is dealing with all kinds of injuries. Bad knee, he's had hand injuries. He's been dealing with a sore neck. I mean, he's just had way more, he's had the foot, multiple foot breaking problems. I just think because of health reasons, I would have to go with Simmons. And right now, you need the versatile perimeter player to win in the NBA. The hulking big man, as great as he is, Embiid's probably a Hall of Famer. You know, that's not working as well in the NBA right now.
You mentioned the All-Star game, and there will be a great focus on Kobe Bryant for the All-Star game. They've already announced a lot of the plans for that. The memorial service, I believe, is February 24th. Will we see less and hear less about Kobe Bryant from that point on through the rest of the season, do you think?
Good question. You know, I was just in L.A. last week, and there is an attempt going on there to try to not necessarily forget Kobe, but just try to move on a little bit. They've fenced off areas around the arena where people were leaving memorials. And the reason they did that is because, you know, people were coming to work, and the Lakers people were coming to work every day, and it was like a cemetery. And, you know, they have to go about their jobs. They have to get on with it. And so while they remember Kobe and they have him on their jerseys and they have him on their floor, and they'll have him and they'll celebrate him at the arena in a couple of weeks here, I do think it's something that is got to be an issue. And it's one of the reasons why the Lakers, I think the Lakers couldn't find a trade they wanted. I think that was primarily. But when the Lakers were at the trade deadline, one of the things that they talked about was, do we really want to bring someone else in here when we've gone through so much trauma as an organization? The thing about it is that this doesn't just affect the Lakers. You know, those guys who played on the Lakers, they weren't teammates with Kobe. You know, it affected teams all around the league because a lot of guys considered him a hero and a mentor. It affects the Lakers fans more than anything. I think it's something that the fans have to deal with more than the actual players.
Brian, we really appreciate the time and the opportunity to talk about the NBA with you. Thank you very much.
Hey, guys, have a great week.
Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
That is Brian Windhorst from ESPN joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. I was thinking about what it must be like, the overwhelming sentiment and obvious, for obvious good reasons, about Kobe Bryant, but there comes a point where, as to put it in his terms, you have to move on.
Oh, you absolutely do. And it's also, it's happened in a year where both LA teams are great. Like,
yeah,
they're two of the top contenders in the league. It's not one of those years where, you know, the Lakers are a mess like last year. They missed the playoffs. And you could almost see maybe even more of a whole year focus on it. And it just is the team itself and where they're going is not the same. Whereas this year, the Lakers have the best record in the West. Realistically, they're going to be talking about, you know, an NBA Finals run. And so, yeah, you obviously want to remember Kobe.
You don't want to forget. I mean,
I don't think they're going to, and they'll do different things, and, you know, whether it's the number patches on the jerseys and things like that. And certainly the guys who are friendly with them, like LeBron James, those guys will never forget. But you're also saying, all right, Windhorst describes the atmosphere outside of Staples being like a graveyard and just being like, that's going to be tough for those guys. Like, how do you sort of deal with that during the day and then at night play a basketball game? Like, that's got to be tough.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, and we've got Karaoke Tuesday coming up with perhaps a special guest at about 1:50 or thereabouts. Can't make promises that I can't keep.
No, don't do that.
But I feel fairly safe about that one.
Don't do that.
It's time to trend.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI. Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah. Right.
Screw you.
Yes, exactly. We don't need you. Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
You see that at Circus du Soleil all the time.
Moose crap or alpaca crap?
The former Rockets guard, Vernon Maxwell, takes it to the max before the game.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
Yeah.
It's a different time. It's the same day. It's 1:30 here.
By the way,
it's not noon,
just
30.
In the interest of cleaning things up, the Connecticut Hammerheads will be playing at Fairfield University. So we were asking where they played, and I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
Maybe.
Yeah. Kiefer Madness, Dale. Kiefer Madness. That's
shot
good.
At lacrosse, huh?
That's good. That's good. And go nowhere, because Karaoke Tuesday to wrap up Dale and Keefe comes your way in just a little bit. But Dale, people have neighbors. Some people like their neighbors. Some people
do you
do
like
not
yours?
Like yeah, I have no problem with my neighbors.
Okay.
My neighbors are actually very nice. I like my neighbors.
I like some of mine.
Oh, see, that. You know, there's a story there.
Yeah, well.
There's a story there for another time. Let's go to Oklahoma, shall we? We don't do a lot of Oklahoma stories. But this is a pretty interesting one. Let's begin.
Oh, boy. And now to this situation that really sucked.
Really?
Man, I think a good start.
In Oklahoma, they just jump right in, don't
they? He's already laughing about the story.
Oh.
He's already kind of laughing about it, and he used a pun because that's classic local television.
Yeah.
You've got to go with the pun. It's the lowest common denominator when you're trying to get a joke, hence why Andy Hart does them every Friday with us. Well,
am
I wrong?
No, you're right. You're not.
Oh, boy. And now to this situation that really sucked. A man accused of bringing a Roomba to a fight with his neighbor, and that's not even the craziest thing that happened here.
So a Roomba is one of those little guys that you put on the ground. It's like a little robot that is like a self-moving vacuum. You know those like little circles that just kind of like kick around and do their own thing?
That's
a Roomba.
They often, you'll often see videos online of cats riding around.
Oh, they'll sit on them and they'll go around. Yeah, and I should probably get one. I think it seems like a pretty good investment to have a little Roomba. And it feels like you're in the Star Wars universe because it's like a little droid kind of flying around doing its thing. So this fight involves a Roomba, Dale. So keep that in mind.
News 4's Peyton Yeager has this story. And Peyton, I know you spoke with one of the neighbors who tried to fight back during all of this.
Kevin, David Baird messaged me. A full-on standoff was happening right outside his window. He says he never had a problem with his neighbor before until this happened.
So that's the thing is right now.
A full-on standoff.
Yeah, I love my neighbors. But sounds like this guy did too.
You have a sword. You don't need a Roomba.
They're not messing with me.
No.
I don't think that they would.
I told him, if you break through the fence, I'm going to shoot you.
So that's aggressive.
You come near me with that Roomba, I'm going to shoot you.
That's a pretty serious thing to say. Right out of the gate, he's introducing a gun.
I told him, if you break through the fence, I'm going to shoot you.
David Baird, gun in hand, after his neighbor, John Stafford, allegedly started trying to break down their shared fence with a Roomba vacuum cleaner.
Now, of all the things to break a fence with, I would get a sledgehammer. Yeah, a shovel, a sword, whatever you might
on
you.
Roombas aren't cheap.
They're not cheap, and they're like not that big either.
No, and they're probably not going to do a good job knocking down a fence.
And also, why would you want to break down a shared fence? It's also your fence.
Well,
I was scared for my family.
His wife and kids huddled inside their Yukon home after a 12-hour ordeal with the man next door.
12 hours with this?
12 hours!
I got my Roomba! A guy trying to break down your fence with a Roomba, you threatening to shoot him with a gun, all during a 12-hour standoff.
Threw fecal matter out in the driveway into our yard.
That's worse.
It had to involve poop.
It did involve poop, which I appreciate, but now that's different than... I mean, when I saw the guy standing there with a Roomba in his hands, I thought this is a little ridiculous. But now he's throwing...
Not ideal.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, well.
Threw fecal matter out in the driveway into our yard.
Eventually, the SWAT team, the bomb squad, and the robot called out.
The bomb squad, the SWAT team, were all there.
Baird and his neighbors staying up late, capturing it all on video.
You must come out. Time to surrender yourself.
They brought, like, more guys than for, remember Penis Man? When he claimed they had, like, 20 guys with guns? They had more people going here. Even more.
Stafford barricading himself inside his home, making several calls to police.
You ready for the 911 call?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to report a douchebag.
A what? You'd like to report a what?
Well, I think we can say it, but I don't know if we can.
Yeah, let's just say D-bag.
A D-bag.
Yeah.
I'd like to report a D-bag, but he's very calm, so I like that part.
I'd like to report a douchebag.
Sir. You'd like to report a what?
Sir.
A douchebag.
Can you speak like an adult, please? And tell me what situation you're having.
Good for her.
D-O-U.
Again, I'm going to ask you to tell me the problem that you're having.
B-A-G. Bag. Did you hear that?
So I don't know if I'm really... How could he be on this guy's side?
Wow.
This is what he's doing.
OKC and Yukon dispatchers taking 6 911 calls from him in all.
Yukon 911, what's the location of your emergency?
Yukon 911, what's the location of your emergency?
It's a jag.
Okay, I'm getting you back over to Oklahoma City.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's very committed to that.
I'm gonna run you guys into the ground.
Okay, have a nice night.
Yep.
Stafford's night.
Can't they just send a cop car over there
They eventually did. They sent the SWAT team, the bomb squad. They should all get in trouble for this.
Negotiators in the street try to lure him outside, eventually releasing canisters of pepper spray to get him out.
Smoke him out.
Pepper spray.
I didn't know you could do pepper spray bombs. Like you could throw like a little hand grenade and then it's all pepper spray.
Well,
that's going to get you out of the house, probably. Or at least make you run to like one of those.
Well, it's either that or they were going to lob poop at him.
That's true. Eye for an eye.
I'll take any threat against my family.
Yeah.
Dead serious to me.
You should. That's good.
Police still trying to figure out why Stafford was in such a violent state, and he's still sitting in jail at this hour.
That's it. They got nothing. They got nothing on him.
This is breaking news.
Mere moments ago.
What do we got?
Alex Speer of the Boston Globe reports, quote, Ron Renicki will be named interim manager of the Red Sox on Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
According to a major league source.
Cora's coming back.
Well, it makes you wonder. He will be named the interim manager. Last two seasons, Red Sox bench coach. Under former manager Alex Cora, he managed the Milwaukee Brewers from 2011 to 2015. He was on the LA Angels coaching staff under Mike Socha. John Tomasi said, sounds like the Red Sox plan to have some news for us tonight. Could be resolution of the MLB investigation or could be a new manager. I'd bet on the latter. Well, according to Alex Speer, it is the latter. But I find it interesting that according to Alex Speer, the title is interim manager of the Red
Well,
Sox.
Is that one? The first thing you think of is Cora coming back.
Yes.
The second thing, though, you would think of is it is February 11th. And if you really want to crack
and their first day of workouts is tomorrow.
Yeah, you kind of have to do this. Whereas this offseason, not necessarily Cora, but a full, you know, interview everybody. Like, this job is open. You try to get the best candidates, all the best bench coaches and everything else. But you at least start that process in October, November, and not February. Like, it could be that as well.
The fact that they went, well, at least according to Alex Speer, who's pretty tied into this stuff.
Yeah.
That's the title certainly will lead me, you, and most anybody else to suggest all of those other reports out there that we've heard. You know, there's not much to this Red Sox cheating thing. I'm just telling you, there's not much there, in which case you could easily see the return of Alex Cora a year from now, assuming that Major League Baseball suspends him for the Houston case, the same amount that A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow got.
But it makes, like a lot of the things with the Red Sox this offseason, no sense. Because if you wanted to keep Alex Cora, guess what? Keep him. You're still paying him. Keep him. And if he's suspended for a full year, then you name Ron Renicki the interim, and then he's back. He takes over next year. Like, the Saints didn't fire Sean Payton and then bring him back the next year when he was available. Nope, they did a whole year without Sean Payton, and then he came back, and he's been coaching there since. So that's what he could have done with Cora. Also, if they didn't do anything wrong, or at the very least can't be proved to do anything wrong in 2018, then you definitely should have stuck by Cora. And if it's proven
And maybe that's in effect what they're doing. If they've if they're naming Renicki the interim manager, maybe in effect what they're saying is Alex will be back here in a year.
Yeah, but then why have that press conference where you're talking about reserve judgment and we're letting them go and it was a mutual parting of the ways? Why part ways if you're just going to bring them back? It looks like you don't know what you're doing. Right? Why would you just keep them
unless,
under there?
Unless it was as advertised, which none of us believed. We believed the Red Sox fired Alex Cora. If it was exactly what they said it was, it's a mutual parting of the way. Alex says, I can't hang around here while this is hanging over our head.
But he wouldn't.
I'm going home.
Yeah, he could still do that.
And I'm playing the game here.
Yeah, yeah.
What if the Red Sox are right? Reserve judgment. In other words, there's nothing here.
I don't understand why you go through the circus of moving on from him. Whether it was his idea or not. First of all, you think it's really his idea? I don't want to be the manager next year. It's like, well, you're probably not going to be allowed to be the manager. But if you didn't do anything with the Red Sox, so now you're punishing the league hasn't even come out and done anything with Cora.
Nothing
that we
know of.
Still to this date, they have not come out and suspended him at all. So why not? If you really felt like he didn't do anything in 2018, wouldn't you have played out the whole thing? Wait for the league to come down? Because guess what? You didn't go very far in your manager search anyway. So if you wanted to play it out, you could still name Ron Renicki the interim manager. I just think the whole thing has been just bungled.
Assuming that it's not part of whatever release that the Red Sox put out concerning Alex Cora, it'll be the first or second question asked of Chaim Bloom when he gets around to taking questions. Does this mean Alex Cora is coming back? The fact that you're naming Ron Renneke the interim manager, is that what that indicates?
I obviously think of Cora, but I also just believe that if you're hiring a manager in February, how many guys were really available right now? What was the candidate pool look like now versus then? And is there somebody?
Well, they interviewed three that we know of.
And
in addition to the, you know, Carlos Fabelis is separate.
Right. But do you want to commit to any of those guys? Right? And again, whether you
haven't commit to this guy either, though, right?
No, but I don't think you would.
Yeah.
Like, Ron Renneke is a retread manager. He's older, and he was your bench coach. So at least you're keeping some familiarity with the rest of the players. But I'm saying, of the guys who are available, did you want to give any of them a 3 or 4 year deal? Probably not. So you slap the interim on them. You know the team's not good this year anyway. You traded your best player. You got nothing in return, at least for this year. So you know you're not that good. So you just play out the string. It's going to be a long 162. And then you do a real full court press on the next manager in the offseason.
I'll be very curious to see how this gets spun by the Red Sox. Ron's the guy. We always wanted Ron. Well, then why is he the interim manager? Because the inference here is Ron's the guy for now.
Well, you also...
Training camp opens tomorrow. We felt we had to have somebody in the position.
I think there's more... It leaves more options open to
you. Do they actually say, we're continuing our search? We're not done.
Yeah, you could.
We had to have, you know, training camp open. Spring training opens tomorrow.
Yeah.
We had to have a guy in the spot. Ron's going to be the interim manager.
Right. Well, you could easily say that. We have a season to prepare for. He's the best guy for right now. And guess what? There have been examples of interim managers becoming the full-on manager. I don't anticipate that with Ron Renneke, but there's that possibility. You don't need to go full commitment to him right now and then regret it or find out, oh, geez, Mark Kotze is available next year. Like, we would rather have him or we'd rather have somebody else. And then, of course, there's always going to be Alex Cora until we know exactly what the punishment is as a possibility as well.
So, apparently, the Red Sox have a guy, or at least for now. And according to Alex Spear of the Boston Globe, the Red Sox will name Ron Renneke as the interim manager of the team before the day is out.
There you go. All right.
We never get to actually interrupt madness for breaking news.
Pretty good. That's a first.
Was an opportunity for us.
That's a first. Pretty good. All right. Well, that's it.
What else you got coming up in just a few minutes? And Karaoke Tuesday with a special guest as well.
Hmm.
We are chock full of stuff to offer up to you. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Can you speak like an adult, please?
If you break through the fence, I'm going to shoot you.
I'd like to report a douchebag.
Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things we may have missed earlier in the show.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, we talked some NBA with Brian Windhorst, but we didn't talk about the game tonight, which should be a good one. You got to stay up a little bit later. It's a 9:30 game. Celtics.
I got a bunch of those next week.
Yeah.
Bruins are out west.
Oh, I know.
Listen,
it's the commitment we make as fans, Dale. You got to do it. And it's the Celtics and the Rockets tonight, and after the Rockets traded away Clint Capella, they are going with a much different approach. They are saying, you know what, screw it. We're going with all guards, all small forwards. So I think Robert Covington, who they
got... So I'd have a chance at making their roster?
You could be on the Rockets.
Nice.
You'd fit right in nicely on the Rockets.
Except for that not being able to shoot part.
Just pass. Just pass to Harden.
Lots of that.
He's just going to shoot it anyway. So you're going to see a team that, you know, looks... There's probably high school teams in the state that are bigger than the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Robert Covington, they got in the trade, is 6'7". I think he's the tallest guy in their starting lineup. Harden and Westbrook, who have actually played, you know, pretty well together. Harden's leading the league in scoring. Fun team to watch. Wouldn't be surprised if both teams score in, like, the 120s tonight. You're going to see lots and lots of threes. And it also sounds like Jaylen Brown will play. So the Celtics are pretty healthy, and they're riding a 7-game winning streak. They already beat Oklahoma City, who was a Western Conference playoff team, and Houston, another one of those teams in the West. They're a top 5 team in the West, so this could be a pretty big win for them if they can get it.
What else you got?
So there's been some talk about the possibility of Tom Brady going to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. We really got it kicked off last Friday when Michael Irvin joined the show. So now Stephen A. Smith has got his take on why the Dallas job would be a great job for Tom Brady.
It put Tom Brady, with his experience, his knowledge, his championship pedigree, in Dallas. I got Ezekiel Elliott behind me running the football. I got this offensive line that's going to protect me. I got a number one in Amari Cooper. I got a reliable tight end, at least to some degree, no matter how old he is, in Jason Witten, who could be somewhat of a security blanket. I've got others as well. Terrence Williams and these boys. And some guy named Tress Way actually started one game.
That is
Terrence Williams hasn't played there since 2018.
As I say, that was a while. Even 18 seems more recent than I thought.
Yeah.
Terrence Williams was a deep pull.
Yeah, 2018.
Jason Witten's are a security blanket right now?
I don't know.
I mean
he was, you know, he was on a roll. They didn't want to interrupt him.
Well, he's like, they got Amari Cooper. It's like, well, no, they don't. I mean, they probably will, but they haven't signed him yet. No. He's a free agent. And then to say,
they got a better chance of Amari Cooper than Terrence Williams,
though. As soon as anybody says, and I've probably been guilty of this as well, but you can kind of know they're full of it when they're like, oh, they got Amari Cooper and those boys. Or yeah, Amari Cooper and those other guys. Who are the other guys? If you knew him, you'd name him. And he gets into trouble sometimes when he starts naming guys on the team outside of the superstars.
All right, it is Tuesday. That means it's Karaoke Tuesday, and we don't often do this. It's only been on two occasions that I can think of beyond this.
Yeah.
Once with our buddy Steve DiAssi.
That's right.
Once when Lucy Burge, you know, stepped in.
That's right. Wiggy as well.
Oh, Wiggy's that's right. I forgot about Wiggy.
Yep. And even our own Rich Keefe has stepped in a little
did
bit.
Did that count?
That counts.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, we sang a Thanksgiving song together.
Yeah, we did.
Glorious.
Yeah, it was. I remember.
It was
that
glorious.
Was it was.
So we have another collaboration today for Karaoke Tuesday.
What could it be?
Do you want to give it up, Shime, or do you want to just let her rip?
Let's just let it rip. People will know.
Oh, okay.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she would sing a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than poor. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel and a stunner, on a merry way saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the middle of a hotbed of 45, just another way to survive. California, rest in peace. Simultaneous release. California, show your teeth. She's my priestess, I'm your priest. Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
There seemed to be a bit of a delay between
a little
the music
bit.
And the
really
vocal.
Really strong, though. You can tell he's got
Tom
money.
Tom came out like a rocket.
I'll tell you, two
Tom
things with
E.
Tom.
Tom E. Curran has got a lot going on.
Oh, here comes Shine.
When I got a little brighter, with a name like Danny California, day was going to come when I was going to moan you. A little loaded, she was stealing another breath.
Nice.
I love my baby today.
They both work the syllables, don't they?
They really do.
California, rest in peace.
This might be the best one ever. I'll tell you what. This was the first Tuesdays with Tom. He hit the ground running. He's even taking part in Karaoke Tuesday. That is a good choice.
We're doing the car wash around here now.
That is really good. Well done, guys. Holy smokes.
Tom even told me that he would love to do more karaoke. So, spoiler alert to the future.
Do we have a vote?
Yes. Oh, I mean, yes, for sure. More where that came from. God, you closed your eyes. You just thought you were listening to the studio album there. That was good.
Pretty similar, yeah.
I like that a lot. That was nice.
All right, we got to get out of here. I am led to believe that Christian Fourier has an adjustment in his thought process about a certain local athlete.
Oh,
and let's just say, you might not like his adjustment, but it's coming up next.
Is it a scoop?
We'll see.
Okay.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Black bandana, sweet Louisiana.
That's all, folks.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.